Star Wars geek girls. They're geek girls that like Star Wars. And sometimes cry.
Hello, and welcome to Star Wars Geek Girl. I'm Zoe, and as usual, I'm here with Lizzie.
Hello.
And we are going to be talking about Star Wars. No real news this week about Star Wars. A lot of other news about many other things. Not really Star Wars news. We had two Star Wars come out this past week. One was called Zen, Grogu and the Dust Bunnies. That like came out of nowhere. It was really cute. And the other one was obviously Andor episode 11. But we can talk about Grogu and the Dust Bunnies first, mostly because that was short. It was funny because they said it was going to be short, and I think I said last episode, I was like, yeah, but like, you know, like visions and stuff were also supposed to be shorts, and a lot of them are like between 10 and 20 minutes, so like it could be a long, little longer. No, it was literally 2 minutes.
Yeah,
and I loved every second of short. It.
Yes, I it was so cute, and I love the animation. It's so good because it's like, it's just beautiful. I don't even know how to describe it, and I should be able to because it's podcasting time. But like, it was just so good, and it was just a cute little short. It didn't. Like, it had a slight story to it, but, like, not really. And it was just, it was perfect.
It was so cute. It was, like, the little, they were called Dust Bunnies, but, like, the little suit sprites from other Ghibli films. They're, like, you know, bouncing around Grogu. They make him sneeze. They're just so cute. And he falls over, and they just follow him around. They just, like, have a little tiny, cute little adventure.
Yes.
It's great. So cute. Very needed. I hope this is a start of a collaboration between Star Wars and Ghibli, and that we can get more to come from them in the future, because it's really very cute.
With visions
or with their own thing, with anything. Because it's so cute.
Yes. I think great opportunity to do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a very nice little surprise that they announced literally the day before it came out. They're like, hey.
Hey, you guys like Ghibli? You like Star Wars? Here you go.
Yeah. So, Grogu and the Dust Bunnies. Very cute. It's hard to like there's not much to it.
I feel bad
saying that, but it's like it's not much of like a whole discussion. This is very cute and very nice.
Yeah, it was pretty much just Grogu trying to meditate, and the dust bunnies are kind of distracting him, and then he becomes one with the dust bunnies. That's it. Yes. That's all you need.
Come friend. Yeah, very cute little adventure. I was hoping to get Ghibli Mando. But, you know, can't win them all.
Yeah.
Still very cute. So, on a very opposite note, Andor episode 11.
Yeah. This was
spoiler-free thoughts.
Very good episode.
Yeah, very good. Andor every week. I'm like, so good. Every week. Just blows me away. You know, yeah. Like, amazing.
It's never been a dull moment.
No, I don't know, it's hard, because it's hard for me to rank episodes, because I feel like the story is so seamless, you know what I mean, in a lot of ways. So, because I know some people, like, as soon as this show's done, like, this is my ranking, and I'm like, I can't do that. I don't like picking favorites. I can hardly even do that with, like, movies. But, so it's hard for me to be, like, even say, like, which episodes I necessarily like more than others. I feel like every episode is just so good. Like,
it's so good and unique in its own way, and it's like, I don't know, it's different for me every time in a way. Like, I don't know, it's very good.
Yeah, there has yet to be an episode of Andor that I haven't left. Like, I don't know, like there's not a single episode of Andor that I left being disappointed or even just being like, oh, that was okay. Like every episode. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're so blessed by the show and I can't wait. We're almost finished this season, sadly. I don't know what I'm gonna do with my life on Tuesday nights. But it's amazing. I'm very excited for season two. It's nice knowing we're getting a season two, like definitely.
That's yeah, very nice. Especially with the show like this, that's just perfect in every way.
Yeah,
hoping that it will continue.
Yeah, I am glad that they. I wasn't there. I don't know how like it all went down, but I'm glad that like if Tony Gilroy was like, I want two seasons, and they weren't like, oh, we'll give you one season, see what happens. They're like, okay, like we'll let you tell a complete story, the way you want. And it's definitely shows it's a show of faith in Tony Gilroy and in this story, which I appreciate. Very good.
Yes. I think non-spoiler thoughts because I like talking Andor. So everyone should watch it. Go watch it. Go watch it because it's really good and it will not waste your time.
Yes. So the episode. I have Wikipedia up to make sure I don't forget anything. But so Wikipedia is different. In my memory, I believe. No, Wikipedia is right. I'm sorry, Wikipedia. I never should have doubted you.
You're doubting Wikipedia?
I'm so sorry, Wikipedia. You're so right. It starts with Cassian and Melshi hanging on a cliff, hiding from a TIE fighter.
Do you think he's still Keef?
It's a great question. You know, they never showed Cassian being like, oh, my name's actually Cassie. Like, he's still Keef. Part of me is like, why would he tell, you know? Like, he definitely is definitely trying to hide from Cassian. So I can't imagine. Although, you know, he did also go around telling everyone that he's from whatever that planet was. So maybe he learned his lesson.
Yeah, he's slowly learning his lesson. I feel like they could have killed those guards at Narkina 5. But, like, just in case they try to reactivate everything and then, I don't know.
Yeah, although, I mean, the thing was, like, they said it would take, months to reactivate it. So, you know. And they weren't, like, I don't know, they weren't, like, going around, like, hunting for guards to kill. It was just,
that's true.
Know, they were just trying to get out, you know? It wasn't, you know, it was more self-serving than that. But yeah, so Cassian and Melshi are, like, hanging on a cliff. And Cassian's like, there's a tie going overhead. And Cassian's like, oh, like, they're leaving. And Melshi's like, don't say that. Like, he doesn't want it. But they're kind of like, I really like the scene, like, kind of subtly encouraging each other without, especially Cassian encouraging Melshi without just being like, oh, you can do it. Like, it was more subtle than that. And I really appreciated it.
Yeah, I like their hands and their feet completely destroyed at this point.
They're way stronger than me. I wouldn't have made it. I would have fallen. That's not even like I would have done on purpose. I'm not athletically capable of that.
Yeah, I'm not. In this case, I'm not going to be like, yeah, I'd make, no, no not way. Make it.
No
I
way.
Could cook something. That's all I can do. Can I make a fire? No.
I have
someone
no
has
useful
to make
skills.
A fire first.
I have no useful survival skills, so good on
that's
them.
Okay. Learn what good foods you can eat. What, like, foraging you can do.
Yeah, so then after that, when they're hanging on the cliff, you go back to Ferrix.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The way it was framed was beautiful, because our first introduction is essentially looking through the eye of B2. But not just looking through the eye, looking through like a pitcher or like a glass or something of water on the table. So it's like blurry at first. And I think that was such like a big brain choice, because Marva passed, and B is really framed in these scenes in this episode as like if he was her young child who didn't really understand. And so obviously droids can't cry, but like framing it through a water glass so we get the view of like a child who's crying and seeing through their tears was so well done.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing.
I actually didn't even understand what that was. So that sounds like perfect and makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. It's remarkable how much they were able to, and I'm very sensitive. I'm always any character, I'm always empathizing with them pretty much. Well, not any character.
Cereal?
Many characters. Not cereal. No, that was not. But like, it's very easy for me. Like, I totally like give my heart to like droids and like stuff like that. Like, it's very easy for me. But like, the work done, especially here with B, who is like a literal box, to really, for lack of a better word, humanize him and like make you really feel that, and for him to portray emotions so well without a face, very well done.
Yeah.
The direction for, and also I don't know who does B's voice, but whoever does that voice did a great job. And also the people who are controlling the, I don't know if it's like a, I don't say puppet, don't feel like it's a puppet, whatever the animatronics are, whatever. R&B, like controlling that and those specific movements, all of it was very well done. It came together very well.
Yeah. I just like how Star Wars is able to portray these like characters that, you know, aren't really supposed to have emotions, like have emotions, just like you were saying. It's like the different ways that they portray them is so creative, and I really like, I never, if I was to direct or do anything like animation wise, I would never think to have the robot view like water and have that be like crying. Like, that's so, I don't even, that's but very big brain, very, very smart. Doing a great job.
And also like, that's just from like the outside perspective, but even within this show, like, we have Brasso. Every time Brasso is on screen, I'm just like, bro, I love you so much. He's such a great
My heart
character.
Goes out to him.
We love
beautiful man.
Brasso stan club here, genuinely.
Yes.
Brasso is very, like, he's very understanding, very kind, because it's like, we already knew Marva was like a significant figure within Ferrix. Like, she clearly, people respected her, cared for her. So there's a lot of different people within her home, organizing, like figuring out what they're gonna do, like planning funerals, stuff like that. Especially because, you know, with Cassian gone, she doesn't have like biological, or I guess Cassian would have been biological, but you know what I mean, like family.
Yeah, close like,
family. The whole town is her family. And so it's very nice to see that like community coming together. And Brasso was the one talking to B2, but you know the most. But even everyone else, like, there was no, like, he's just a droid. Like, everyone was very, like, treating him like a person.
Mm-hmm.
He was grieving, which was very nice. And Brasso is talking to him. He's being very gentle, very kind. It was so sweet. Man, B2 totally broke my heart.
Yeah.
He was, like, because Brasso offers him, which is another, you know, they're really treating him with so much respect. He offers him, like, oh, do you want to be alone in the room with her? You know, do you want time alone? And B2 says, I don't want to be alone. I want to be with Marva. And I think anyone who's lost anyone feels that. I think I've said those exact words before. So it's, like, it's really hard. Sorry.
No, you're good. I think it's, I mean, yeah, I've been through quite a bit of loss, and the first thought isn't really being alone, it's being with that person, especially depending on how close you are with them, or maybe if you weren't close with them at all, or in the slightest, It's hard to just lose anyone. And I, again, the way they portray it in just this robot is something that pretty much anyone who's lost anyone can relate to. And I did cry at this scene. I didn't, and it sucks because, well, not sucks, but I didn't cry at specifically Marva passing, but I cried at just the emotions that everyone in that room felt for Marva, and then especially B. And I know this is jumping, but I wanted to say that, you know, later on, eventually we'll talk about it, but to talk about Marva, Cassian finds out because he sends a message to Ferrix and is like, hey, tell Marva I'm okay. She would have wanted this. Like, it's okay. I'll be fine. I'll come back home. And the guy on the other side is like, I'm sorry, but your mom's passed. And the different ways that they show grieving in Star Wars or in just like movies in general is very, it's very personal for certain people. So how one person grieves can be completely different from how another person grieves. And I think in that moment, Cassian didn't want to, or not that he didn't want to, but it was just such a shock, especially since he's been gone for so long. Which that part I can especially relate to, having been in New York here and having quite a bit, strangely, of family members passing in California. And like, there's nothing Cassian can do, there's nothing I could do. It's just, except like later on, just be sad about it. So showing like how far Cassian is from home and hearing those news and how he can't really do anything about it. And then seeing like B being pretty much there with her and having, being able to have comfort from, what's his name? The man, the myth, Brasso. The legend. Brasso. So I really like how they did this scene. Again, it was just, it opens a lot of like, it's very open-minded and very like, just shows how different people can, can't, will grieve about certain people in their lives that passed. And you know, Marva was very apparent, like very well known in her community. So thankfully she has that community there to be with her, mm-hmm. to help her through that, even after dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really nice to see the community come together, especially because we know from the very first few episodes, like Ferrix is a community where people look out for each other. And they value that. And it was really nice to see that continue and talk about their traditions. We also see, you know, Cinta's that is still there, as well as one of the ISB guys, kind of mm-hmm. being a spy watching, which we'll get to. Yeah, so we go back to Cassian and Melshi, and they've gotten up the cliff. And they see a quad jumper, which is a nice little cut to the sequel trilogy. Because that's the type of ship that Finn and Rey were going to use to escape before it got blown up. And they took that, you know, piece of trash ship over there, which is a nice little reference for sure. But so they go over to, it's near a lake, and they also see there's like some like fishermen there too, and they try to go over the ship, but there's like, they're like weird like Spider-Man web nets.
Yeah, that was
I don't catch them. I don't know why the nets
it.
Were like that was the nets
sticky.
Were icky. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Kind of gross. They were like slimy.
Yeah. Wasn't a fan
like,
of
I'm,
the nets.
I'm guessing to like keep you there, but I would cry if I was just in
they
there.
Were yeah. No, I would literally be like, okay, I'll do whatever you want, just get this off me. Like ew. We also
Please.
Go back to Deidre. Who finds out about Marva's death and about the funeral, and the guy at like on Ferrix is like, well, they're gonna want a permit to close that street for a big funeral. Obviously, we're gonna say no. It's like, bro, do you hear yourself right now?
Yeah.
But Deidre's like, you know, she's masterminding, and she's like, oh, let them have a permit, but like limit the amount of people, and like she's like
limit the
like.
Time and
Out,
space.
They're like trying to figure out a whole plan. Yeah, limit stuff. We find out the Ferrix funeral custom. They cremate the person and then put them like in a brick and put it in a wall, which is, I think, a really nice little custom. For a town, I don't know. I think that's cool. That's pretty.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I wonder if we're going to be able to see that wall, or is just like, because it's probably not just a random wall.
Yeah, well, so I don't know, because they said like they'll find a wall. So I don't know if it's like, if they have like one big wall that everyone's on, or if they like, maybe they make the brick and then like find, like, because they said find a wall. So like find a wall like significant, like in a place significant to that person. And put their brick there. You know what I mean? So you have like, instead of having like, this is our wall of ancestors, which would also be pretty cool if it's like, oh, we're gonna put this person's brick here because like this is like where they got married or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm curious. I'm sure we'll find more about it next episode.
I hope so. It's just yeah, it's
yeah, the ISB is using it as a plan to capture Cassian, because of course they are.
Yeah, because you know what else do you do at a funeral of someone's mom? Not just not grieve and leave people alone. No, we're going to use it as an advantage.
Yeah, so we go back to Cassian, or Keef, and there it was,
Keef.
Like, kind of weird. The guy, the Fisher guy, which I never would have guessed this. But I saw someone online and they pointed out that the Fisher guys were like, or one of them was like in Rogue One or something. Because, of
Interesting.
course, someone pointed them out from like, or maybe it was their species or something from like the Rogue One Visual Dictionary.
That's cool.
Like, interesting.
I mean, I didn't really recognize
and people
them.
Say Andor has no Easter egg. Look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like the two fishermen have this like really like weird conversation like back and forth about like turning them in for like a bounty or like
yeah, and it's also like dead or alive.
Yeah, like, oh, we can kill them. Like, oh, you know, like, that prison, like, that totally ruined our water, killed all our squigglies.
Squigglies.
Our squigglies. And stuff,
the
like,
squigglies.
Blah, blah, blah. And Cassian and Melshi are, like, freaking out. They're like, it's not our fault. Like, just let us go. Like, and then.
Yeah, we were literally prisoners.
And then they're like, all right. And they let them out. And like, all right, we'll take you where you want to go.
Yeah, that was very random.
I still don't know, like, were they like kind of messing with them?
They're
Did
probably
they change
just
their
saying, like,
minds?
ranting, being like,
It was
yeah,
very
jerks.
weird. It was a very weird conversation.
Yeah.
And they're like, Oh, where do you want to go? And Cassian says Nyamos. And I was like, at first I was like, bro, why you want to go back there? Come on. But he did have a good reason, I guess. So
Yeah, I mean, he had like all of his money there,
yeah.
to be fair.
Yes. Yeah, but man, keep Cassian away from the beach.
There was like these
Like, for
weird,
real.
like giant blue pelicans. They were so cool looking there, but they looked also scary because big birds are kind of scary. I don't know why, but we talked about in my episode with my parents and talking about Tales of the Jedi. My mom talked about how scary kangaroos are. And like she's not wrong. They're like weirdly buff and they're
They're very
huge.
strong.
They're like tall. So I don't know. It was just a thought because sometimes animals are just really huge and it's kind of scary. Anyway. But yeah, I guess he just kind of snuck in to his old home, because there was people there sleeping, a little couple.
Yeah.
I think that's the same species as what's her name? In Batuu. Oga.
Oh yeah.
So
Yeah, I couldn't get a good look. But yeah, so Cassian like had like a briefcase with like his blaster and had Nemec's manifesto, as well as his credits that he gets later. Yeah, we'll go back to that at the end. What else happens? I'm just looking. I don't want to miss anything. Yeah. We also get Vel goes to visit Luthen's shop and Kleya is there. And Kleya is trying to, you know, she doesn't want to do, she doesn't want to break protocol. She's like trying to do the whole like, you know, like acting thing that everyone always does in there. And Vel's just not having it. She's like she's not being like super open, like being like, oh yeah, remember when Aldani, when I like, she's like not divulging a lot, but she's also like not
not
having the like
helping.
pleasantries. She's like, just tell me where he is. Like, she's not happy. She's leaving Coruscant soon. She wants to tell Luthen about Marva's passing and how they're gonna have a funeral there because she heard it from Cinta, which also means she and Cinta have been keeping in contact when they weren't supposed to, which good for them. They deserve it. I don't care.
Yeah,
Yeah.
pretty much it's then what's her name? The assistant.
Claire.
Yes, she gets kind of upset that she is kind of, not following code. And I think also Val kind of said, like, well, I gave you guys Eldani, like, what are you doing here? And I thought it was interesting because, she was like, yeah, well, you did that once, but I'm here every day. I have to deal with every single one of you that come in super nervous about literally everything, asking questions about everything, having to organize all of these things, which is fair. That was very valid. I couldn't do that. It's like
Yeah.
customer service, but like
It's
double the worst of it.
interesting because it's still the like yeah, Kleya's doing all that and that's like a very noble sacrifice. It's not minimizing that. But you know, from like Vel's perspective, like Vel was like my whole team died. Like, you know, like she was like, I was there, like in all that violence and stuff. So, you know, it's like, yeah, Kleya is right that she's sacrificing a lot, but also like Vel is kind of right to feel, you know,
Yeah,
even
of
if Kleya
course.
is still doing things, Vel is still right to feel like, well, you're sitting here on Coruscant, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think having this kind of like arguments or not argue, just like these kind of conversations, especially like when it happens between Luthen and like Saw in previous episodes, like they both want the same thing. They both are doing the same amount of work, doing the same like not amount of work, but like depending on the situation and what they're doing. But they're both getting or trying to reach the same goal, and yet they're all still arguing with each other. which I think is kind of interesting, especially because every single person is also like, well, I'm doing this work. What are you doing? Well, that's not enough work. Or, well, you should be working with this person. Well, I don't want to work with this person. Like, it's really interesting to see. Because, again, they're after the same goal. And hopefully, you know, from what we know, they eventually kind of get it. But it just also, I have a lot of thoughts in my head. And I've always wondered, like, you know, if we made this world 100% perfect, I feel like it would still never be 100% perfect, which, I don't know, it's an interesting thought in my head. And I like kind of seeing that here with just them trying to be a rebellion in general.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's easy for us to see from the outside, mm-hmm. but for them with an intention, they don't necessarily always are able to recognize how much they really all need each other, like, especially when it comes to, like, Clea, Luthen, Mothma, Vel, and, like, that whole network. Saul's a little bit more doing his own thing right now, but for everyone else, because it's, like, you know, obviously what Vel's doing is really important, but she's getting, like, resources and tips and, like, all sorts of things because of what Luthen and Clea are doing and what Mothma is doing as well. And it's, mm-hmm. like, they're all doing different things in different ways, but they're feeding each other because, you know, what, like, Luthen and Mothma and all of them are doing would be nothing without people on the ground doing the work Vel is doing. But Vel would not be succeeding, and all the other people would not be succeeding if it weren't for what they're getting from Luthen and Mothma. So I think it's a really interesting symbiotic relationship that they just can't fully realize yet. But once they do realize it, that's when we get to the Rebel Alliance fully forming and mm-hmm. being able to take down the Empire. It's really cool to see those early stages.
Yes. I agree.
Yes. So after that, we get a bit more of, like, Cinta watching everything going on Ferrix.
She's a bartender.
She is a bartender. And someone asked her, cool. like, oh, do you know who that is? And Cinta's like, oh, no, I just moved here. Like, she's playing it cool. Mm-hmm.
I would love to see what bartending things she does. Because all I've seen her do so far book? Is clean.
Hey, yes. She just started. They're not letting her do the real stuff yet. She's got to clean first. How it works.
That's fair.
We also get to catch up with Bix.
Yes.
Man. Yeah, they, like, basically drag her into, like, another interrogation room, and the officer guys are, like, asking her. They pull up a hologram of Anto Krieger, who's been mentioned a few times here before, as he's the guy that Luthen's essentially sacrificing. Pull up a picture of him, and they ask Bix if that's who she met up with. He's not, obviously, but Bix, they've obviously, they have to have done that thing again at least another time, if not multiple. She looks,
or just mess her up really bad,
I guess, but, like, I don't know, like after, like, when we seen her after it before, she was fine, like, not fine, but she was not, she did not look like this. So I feel like they've done at least, well, something more to her.
I also think they are probably just not taking care of her as well. Because they could very much just, like, have done it once, but also they've probably not taken care of her.
Yeah, she's not, she looks really rough. And shout out to the makeup team for Andor. like, actually, because I feel like so often when we shout out makeup teams, it's for, like, high glamorous looks or, like, intense alien and stuff looks. But shout out to the makeup team for making her look so bad. Like, seriously, that takes some skill and talent.
Mm-hmm. Naturally bad.
Yeah, like,
all natural.
Especially because I feel like sometimes it's an easy cheat if you, like, do, like, a ton of, like more, like, beauty makeup on someone. And obviously they all have beauty makeup on because it's a show. But, like, doing it, like, she didn't have, like, a ton of... Andor is all
natural. He's just that
okay.
Beautiful.
No, but like she didn't have like a ton of like obvious beauty makeup on,
right?
Before, and so I feel like sometimes it's a cheat, like just take someone's beauty makeup off, and they you can inherently make them look a little bit worse than what you might be used to.
That's so
But she
mean.
didn't have no, but you know what I mean, though.
No, I know. I'm like, dang.
Compared, okay. But like I feel like that's a bit of a cheat they can do, and they didn't. Like she did not have a lot on. And they were still able to like make it work very well, and like it was a very visceral reaction I had when I saw her, like, oh man. And it wasn't even like, oh, she's all like bloodied and bruised up, like she just looks like ill. It's really sad.
Yeah.
And they're like, come on, Bix, you gotta tell us, like, or we'll bring the Dr. Gorst again. And she can't, she can't even talk to tell them what they want, which is no. And even if she does tell them, man.
Yeah, my thing is, I feel like she could just say yes to that, though, right? Like she could just be like, yeah, totally, that's Axis. But also, I don't know.
I feel like, I feel like, I'm sure, like, saying yes might work better than saying no, even if it's not the truth, because they're not going to believe her if she says no. But also, like, whether she says yes or no, how much better? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to get, poor, bro.
Which is the lesser of bad.
We got to rescue her, man. I can't watch this. I can't watch this happen to her. It's so rough.
Yeah.
We also get to Mothma and Vel, too. Vel visits Mothma, I guess, before she leaves Coruscant. And so Leda has a little, like, Bible study thing going on where they're, like, super, like, doing, like, super, like, she's basically, like, trad wife training. And Vel is, like, oh, like, is Perrin making her do this? And Mothma's, like, no, like, Perrin actually doesn't really care, like she's really into these traditions, and she, like, Mothma explains the whole situation with like Tecolmo and everything to Vel, and the whole deal with what's his face and like everything going on, and then Leda finishes and like Vel hugs her, and Genevieve O'Reilly's acting amazing. I've really felt for Mothma. And there's also a part of me that's like, well, she really likes tradition.
Yeah.
You know, because it'd be one. Here's the thing. Arranged marriage, not good.
No.
But. The big but. But. It's like if Mothma wouldn't be forcing on it, like if Leda would like really want that tradition. And Mothma gets rebellion money.
Yeah, it was. I didn't.
It's hard.
It.
It still doesn't feel right, but it's a little better than my initial reaction. But still, like.
Yeah,
it's so sad.
It's just again, as I guess, as long as she's fine with it, like, I'm not entirely sure why someone would willingly want to, especially because it doesn't seem like her parents are encouraging it, you know? It seems like her parents, especially Mothma, would be like, oh, don't do that. Or her dad would be like, I don't care, do whatever you want. So it's like, it's not like her parents are making her do these things. She's just kind of like, yeah, I want to be arranged marriage.
Yeah, I mean, the thing was, and it's interesting because Mon Mothma was saying, like, these old Chindrillan customs, like, they're kind of going out back on Chindrilla, but they're popular with Chindrillans on Coruscant. So it's clearly, like, and it's common in real life, too, like, it's clearly a reaction of people who are far from home to lean very heavily into home cultures, even if some of those practices might be harmful or bad, you know, in order to try and feel connected when they're so far. That's what it read like to me. And she's, you know, Leda's clearly talking to a lot of other Chindrillans. They're like in the embassy a lot. And it's, you know, like, you know, parents can only do so much. Like, your peers are so much of what forms a person.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, at least that I think it would be funny. Not actually, but if Valida was like, yeah, Mom, I want an arranged marriage. And then Wasma's like, well, I have some news for you. I got the perfect guy for you. Don't you worry. I got it. Aren't I a great mom? You can say it, Lita. It's fine. I know you're thinking it.
Poor Mothma's, you know, because she, regardless if Lita wants it, Mothma knows, because, you know, she's a kid, so she doesn't maybe understand all the ramifications of what
she's growing 13, up with that. Bro. She's 13.
Right. She's a kid, so she doesn't get it. Like, she's not thinking about, like, oh, like, she's not putting herself in the shoes of being, like, 30, 40, and, like, having
married
it,
to
like
someone
being in an arranged marriage
don't know.
Since 14. Mm-hmm. Like, she's not putting herself there yet. She's just like, I want to follow my customs, and, you know, and Mothma's lived that, and so she knows. And it's, you know, it's that hard, I'm not a parent, I have no idea what I'm talking about, but it's that hard thing of being a parent when it's like, you know, you, like, if your kid's not going to listen to you, like, what do you do, you know, like, if they're not, if you understand the consequences, but they don't, and they're so insistent, like, how far can you really push it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Especially how far can you push it until they think you're just against them? Instead
and
of,
especially
hey, I'm trying to help you.
Yeah, and especially their relationship is already a little strained because Mothma has been so busy with the rebellion. And even though it's a good cause, Leda can't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, very similar to what we saw with, like, Bail and Brea with Leia in the Princess of Alderaan novel. Like, it's just a very different, like, it's a very hard thing where they're doing the right thing, but that comes with a cost, and the kids might not understand. Fortunately, Leia was someone who shared similar values, who had both parents being cool, and was,
it only takes one,
and was, you know, was able to be brought on board and did believe in what they were doing. But, like,
Leia was also just girl boss, so it's just Leda's fault for not being
Leda,
girl boss.
Leda could be, she's young, she still has more time to become girl boss. But
yeah, but now she's gonna be girl boss with a husband she hates. Yeah,
I don't know. We'll see what happens. I feel a lot for Leda. I feel a lot, probably more, for my mama. But I'm a fuck parent. Sorry, podcast language. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
It's okay. No, I'll get
hate
it.
That guy. I don't care what happens to him, to be honest. I care in that I hope it's something negative.
Yes.
But I'm not sure what'll happen. I don't know. It's Star Wars, you know, you can't really trust it to be good. But I hope we know Mothma's gonna be fine. I hope Leda can come around. I hope their relationship can improve. I hope Perrin can, you know, a lot of windows in Coruscant.
Yeah.
A lot of windows. A lot of balconies.
Accidents can happen.
You know, sometimes, you know, you're just on the balcony, and sometimes it's a little trippy chip. You know, it happens.
You just want a better view outside.
So you're just looking for a better view of the flying car.
Yeah.
And buildings. We also get Cyril is truly the comedic relief. It's hard, like, his story is definitely, like, very interesting, and, like, he's an interesting character. Like, there's definitely, like, a darker part to him I'm really curious about exploring. He's also kind of a comedic relief, and it's great, you know.
I mean, yeah.
So he's like He was like sleeping, and his mom wakes him up and says he has a call. And he goes to answer it, and it's like a little screen on like the wall. And it's Linus Mosk. I almost forgot about him straight
I
up.
I told you, he's a homie. Like, he might not be a good one,
he's
like,
ride or die.
As a good person, but he's, like, with you until the end.
Yeah, man, he's ride or die. But he's been stationed on Morlana 1 still. And so he's telling Cyril about Marva and how he thinks Cassian's going to come to the funeral. And it was just very funny, the back and forth. Because, like, it's like cutting out, you know, it's like when we used to podcast on Skype. Like, it's dying, it's coming back. Like, he says something and Cyril's like, what? What? I can't hear. And, you know, Cyril gets all intense because it's Cyril.
Yeah.
As soon as the second he hears Cassian Andor, he's like, he's there.
Mm-hmm.
And Linus's Mosk is like, oh yeah, like, yeah, and he's like a bit chill about it, which is kind of funny. And then the call ends, but
and then Cyril, this, like, it sucks because, like, obviously we know that he was definitely going to keep trying to investigate, like, Cassian, but, like, this is just even more motive for him to do something about it and to either mess up Deidre's plans or to do it good, I guess, but it's weird and I don't know what's gonna happen.
It was an interesting scene. So we get to Cassian getting his blaster and stuff. And then we get to Luthen going to visit Saw. Saw is packing up to go join Krieger. And Luthen tells him no. Like, he kind of tells him the whole thing with, like, the ISB. Like, he doesn't say much. But he's, like, he tells him, like, they know it's a trap and we have to let them go into it, basically. And Saw is, like, a little up in arms about how Luthen basically is willing to sacrifice him, and, like, he's immediately like oh, like, maybe you're ISB or you're protecting someone on the inside, which he is. And Guerrero's like, oh, well, you have people everywhere, don't you? You have someone in here. And Luthen goes, yeah, and he points the two tubes.
It's
he goes,
tubes.
Luthen's wrong for that, bro. Like, he was wrong for that. Point two tubes, man.
Yeah, Tubes got so mad. He was like, no, my only allegiance is you.
You know what? Because he knows that Saw, because you've read Rebel Rising, right? Saw kills people who he thinks are spies.
Well, I don't even need to read Rebel Rising to know just Saw kills people.
Saw will take you out on a little mission and be like, ha, surprise, and murk you. Like, don't. Part of that was self-preservation for sure. Man, poor Two Tubes. He was literally just standing there, bro.
Yeah.
It was funny, though, honestly.
He could have been sitting there and being like, man, I love my job. And then Luthen was like, yeah, it's him. It's like, what?
Maybe that's why Tubes is, like, so intense later with, like, in Rogue One with, like, Bodhi and everything. He's still, like, 5 years later, like, gotta prove my loyalty, man.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since Luthen said that, you never know. You never know when Saw's gonna change his mind. Like, it was funny, especially because we know Saw's very paranoid. And Luthen, like, fed into that, like, instantly. And it's like, maybe not a good idea. Probably. But Luthen kind of manages to calm Saw down, which is incredible.
Surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not very common. And Luthen says, he makes a really good point right at the end. He's like, look, if I was ISB, wouldn't I have just let you go to the trap? And Saul's so like, oh yeah, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all chill.
But also, the ISB Deidre is very smart, so, like, maybe. I don't know.
True. Man, that would be, like, such a, Deidre's operating on a plane above me. Like,
I would hate to play Among Us with Deidre. Like, Deidre would convince me cry. I was
the imposter.
Yeah, she'd be like, "Are you sure you're not the imposter?" And I'd be like, "I don't know."
Maybe, man. Yeah. Deidre's on a big brain level for sure. We also go back to Cyril just very quickly. He goes into his, at first I was like, oh my god, are we going to see what's in Cyril's secret box? But we don't. It's his mom's. And he just takes her money.
Secret box.
He takes her money. Like, bro, you have a job, don't you?
It's not paying very well.
I guess not. He straight up steals, like, at least ask her, bro. He just steals his mom's money. I don't think
she would let him, is the problem. Maybe not. I don't think she wants him to go. I don't think she realizes that this means, oh, my son is going to go get himself killed again because he's an idiot.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he steals from his mom. Then we get to go back to Luthen, and he's on his ship, and Luthen's message is Clea, and they're talking about, like, Saul and stuff, but they're using, like, oh, I just made a sale, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
It was just kind of cute.
Anyone could be listening.
Yeah. But I guess he was talking about, like, oh, I'm gonna do another sale, and she's like, just come home. I feel like, I don't know, what is their relationship? Because it's very, like, I don't know, I wouldn't tell my employer or, like, someone I work with in the Rebellion to come home. So, are they, like, family or something, maybe?
I mean, they definitely could be family.
Or maybe just close in general.
Yeah, they might just be close.
I don't know, because I thought that was kind of interesting.
I don't know, so I didn't even think about it. Like, yeah, she wants him to come back to Coruscant because there's stuff going on.
Yeah. Again, I could
just be that, like, just, like, you know.
My brain is like, I don't think I would tell, like, hey, chef, come home. Like, this.
I mean, they definitely have to be a little close to be trusting each other with Rebellion stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, Luthen... Clea seems to be the only person Luthen is showing all his cards to. You know, like, Mothma doesn't know about everyone else. Luthen doesn't, or Saul doesn't know about everyone else. Vel doesn't know about everyone else. Like,
I love seeing how paranoid, like, Saul is. So interesting.
It's cool. Interesting because Saul's very paranoid, but also, like, Luthen's kind of paranoid, but in a different way. Mm-hmm. And, like, Moth is kind of like, they're all a little bit paranoid, rightfully so. I think Saul cranks it up a few notches, but he's not necessarily wrong to be paranoid. It's very interesting. Saul is such an interesting character.
Yeah.
I know it's like the running joke that he shows up in everything, but
I like it.
Interesting. No, he's great.
What he brings to the table is just always, like, mind blowing, or it's just like, wow, that was amazing performance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, in Clone Wars and here, Rebels, video games.
It's crazy to think that, like, this character started from, like, a couple episodes in the Clone Wars. Like, he was just kind of, like, the guy there. Like,
with his different sister colored was eyes.
With different colored eyes. And, it's like, his sister was way more important. He was basically the guy who would steal... He was more just, like, steal his sister than his own character.
Mm-hmm.
And he's evolved so much past that. It really goes to show, you know, in Star Wars, any Glup Shitto can become a Blorbo.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I think I know. yes. But yeah, I like seeing him a lot.
We also get to see the Fondor in action. It was awesome. There was, like, another big ship coming, a big Imperial ship coming, and they ask,
it looks so weird.
It was a ship, I believe. It was a ship that was going to be in Solo and then got cut. Its scene got cut. Mm-hmm. And now it's back.
It's alive.
It's alive.
But yeah.
And I didn't like how it looked because it was just like.
It's got a lot of dishes. They're doing so much communication.
And like satellite.
Yeah, they're doing so much communication. But they're like getting his identification. And so Luthen, like, he gets like an Alderaanian transponder ID. And it's, I don't know, I always like it for some reason. I always think it's so cool. And like they do it in Rebels a lot too, and in a lot of books when they're like, oh, pull up another fake ship's ID. And it's like, oh, that's so like spy of you. So James Bond. I don't know. I always like it. And they're like doing a track dream. And honestly, like the firefight was cool. But my favorite part of that sequence was the just like going back and forth, Luthen like flipping all the switches, like waiting for things to load. Like the tension being built there.
I'm old. Sorry, I'm by myself.
Like, oh, he's like, oh, sorry. Like he had like his little like ship droid. He's like, oh, can you like fake an engine burnout or whatever? Like he like knows what he's doing, and he's like flipping. And honestly, that was my favorite part: the building tension of like they're increasing the tractor beam. Like Luthen's doing his thing and then still being the like there are reports of pirates in the area, and Luthen's like, oh, thanks for letting me know, I'll keep an eye out, like,
yeah, I'll be more careful.
Yeah, it was very cool. And then of course he has the fight with like the Sentais after him, and he like does
His ship has lightsabers on it.
Like lightsaber fin, which was in the trailer, and we finally see it. It was so cool.
Which obviously, I don't think they're lightsabers, but they're pretty much just giant lightsabers.
Ship lightsabers.
Yeah.
And he like slices up the TIE fighters. He like destroys their one big dish and just bounces.
Yeah. I still want to know what Cassian and his buddies, his prisoner buddies, were making. I wonder if we're gonna be able to know, but you know, I guess we'll figure it out later on.
I want it to be Death Star. Yeah, I love his ship, but I'd be okay with this. Yeah, for sure. Super cool ship. Yeah, very cool sequence. And then the very last part is Cassian and Maelstrom on the beach. Cassian, yes, just stay away from the beach, bro.
Stay away from the beach. The beach is not for you.
Go like skiing or something. Like, do not
go opposite of the beach.
You're done. Like, go as far inland as you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, bro, it's not for you. but he calls that one guy on Ferrix who was like going to get him a ride off or whatever. And yeah. Cassian's like, tell her she'd be proud of me, like saying all this stuff. And it takes the guy a minute to realize who he is, because Cassian's like, no names. And finally the guy's like, Cassian, like, your mom died. And Diego Luna's acting here too. Everyone's acting is always great, but there's always a few standout moments. And Diego Luna here was incredible. Like it was quiet, it was a bit more understated than what we are used to sometimes, but fit Cassian's character very well, fit the moment very well. It was great. And then he goes over to Melshi. I like Melshi's shirt. And Melshi's like, we need to
very Hawaiian.
It's a great shirt.
Yeah, like Cassian had some money, he was like, buy yourself a nice Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. and Melshi's like, we gotta like split up. Like, he's like, what if we're the only ones that made it out? Like, we gotta split up and make sure people know what's going on, you know. So Cassian gives Melshi his extra blaster, and they a little hug and leave. Melshi's like, oh, like, you okay, something happened? And Cassian's like, no, everything's fine. It's like, bro,
like, everything's good.
Poor Cassian. Melshi leaves,
have time to grieve.
Yeah, Melshi leaves. So I'm curious to see, because we obviously know they end up back together on Yavin with the Rebellion. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see that reunion now.
Be like, hey, I know you.
Because I thought, because when we saw Melshi in the prison, I was like, oh, like, they're going to, like, Cassian and Melshi are going to join the Rebellion together. But no, they're joining it separately and coming back together, which I'm now I think is better now, and I'm very excited to see that.
I think it would have been better maybe if, like, or I guess made more sense. I don't know. I'm sure, you know, they find themselves together again anyway, but I thought they were going to, like, exchange numbers or something somehow.
Hey, and then, bro, you what's know, your snap?
Yeah, and be like, hey, so I'm part of the rebellion now. Yeah, you want to join?
I hope they have that, you know, that meme of Charlie and Mac from Always Sunny. You don't know them, Always Sunny. But, like, the two guys where they, like, see each other in the crowd and, like, look at each other. I'm going to send it to you because I feel crazy now. But I want them to do that.
Yes. Again, I really liked his shirt. It was very good.
It was a great shirt. Someone pointed out the design on it looks like the shape of the prison from above, though. And that was mean. Why would you do that?
why would you do that to her?
But, yeah, so then Melshi leaves. They do a little, like, bro hug. And Melshi leaves.
Yeah, they do a bro hug.
And then Cassian looks out at the water on the sunset. Of course, yeah. Do that. Jesus Christ.
he just really likes the beach.
Bro, he's, you know, I think he needs to be convinced by Anakin to not like sand, because
no. Yeah, he's going to keep looking at it.
Yeah.
I also just liked.
Did you see the meme?
Melsh. Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Okay.
Yes, I did see. Like, I like Melshi's, like, talking about the beach too, and he's like, yeah, fresh air, freedom, like. Uh-huh. We're all gonna die on a beach, all of you.
Everyone dies on a beach.
It's very mean of Star Wars to do this.
Barely, I love the beach.
Yeah. Have you gone to a beach yet in California?
You know, I have not.
You should. Not that it's gonna get cold, so do it.
I should. They're just like, it's like an hour away, but then traffic, so it's really like 2 hours away.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's not like, I don't know, like when, like at home, I'm 2 hours from the beach, but it's 2 hours of driving. 2 hours of traffic is a lot worse than 2 hours of driving.
That's true.
I'll try for sure. But
attempt.
I did go to a beach in California like a couple of years ago. Just not since I've been here this time.
I believe you've been to a beach in California. That's fine. yeah, this episode was very, very good.
This episode was great. I sat there and cried until the credits end. Afterwards, just like part crying, part just like processing everything I just saw. I'm very excited for the finale. It looks like everybody's story arcs, with the exception of probably Mon Mothma, is going to Ferrix. Because Cyril's obviously going to Ferrix. Deidre, I don't know if Deidre's going to make her own personal appearance. I kind of hope so. But her stuff's going towards Ferrix. Cassian, I assume, is going to go back to Ferrix now. That he's gotten that news. We know the people from Ferrix are still on Ferrix. Clea got the news from Vel to tell Luthen. So if she tells Luthen, he might go back to Ferrix, maybe. Maybe not. Vel might go to Ferrix to meet up with Cinta. Maybe Mon Mothma will just be like, you know where I want to go? Ferrix. You know? Everything looks like it's coming to a head at Ferrix. And I'm really excited for things to, for this season to end where they began.
I think it'll be interesting because, you know, I'm going to say this now, just in case it happens later, but You know, before I said, like, man, can't you guys just, like, go to the funeral and, like, not probably kill each other? But honestly, a rebellion or something close to it is probably what Marva would want. Not probably didn't think, oh, I want it at my funeral, but just a rebellion and a fight in general.
I think, honestly, I think the best way to honor her, and I think what Cassian now has realized, is to fight back.
Yeah.
Whether or not he'll be necessarily ready and willing to do that at her funeral, we'll see. I'm sure he will have
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I was going to say, but he'll probably have to.
Whether he wants to, we'll see. But, you know, in the spirit, I think, honestly, I hope we get another instance of Ferrix saying enough. You know, mm-hmm. I think that was a definite highlight of the early part of the season. And I would love to see that unity again.
Yeah. I think Marva would definitely want to see that too.
But I think
gives the perfect opportunity for this.
Yeah. So. I'm very excited. If anything happens to B, I will have to kill someone.
Throwing hands. Yeah.
B better make it out okay, bro. And don't be like none of this, like sending him to Alderaan. Like, he's gonna be okay. He's going to live long enough to become best friends with Grogu.
Yeah, I remember when my dad put on like I don't remember what the book was. It was just like stories from certain background characters and whatever. And one of them was like really good and it was really sad. Because, you know, it was just like a rebel and he was like, hey, like, you know, your mom passed, but like, because he was like writing a letter to his kid, like his little baby. I was like, but like, you know, I'm joining the rebellion and I have to do this, like, better the world and like the galaxy. And, but you know, it's not safe for you here, so I'm gonna send you with your aunts. And like, it's like building up to all this.
I remember this one, yeah.
At the end, it's like, you know, you'll be safe on Alderaan.
Bro,
I cried for a solid like
did
hour.
Did him dirty, yeah. Yeah, no, B needs to be like genuinely okay. That's all I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was an episode. Oh, I did. Like, am I like a friend? I don't know, because I was in class or working, I guess, with the class, and I saw someone's water bottle and it had a Sabine sticker on it. And I was like, ooh, that's interesting. And then I like saw like a Chomper sticker on it. And I was like, oh, that's also very interesting. And it just had like a bunch of stickers on it. And I couldn't figure out whose water bottle it was for like weeks. Like, because I would just see it, it would be gone. See it, gone. See it on someone's station, but it wasn't theirs. Like, okay. And I finally, today, I finally saw them like drinking from it. And I was like, you. You like Sabine? Do you and watch Rebels? And this person, like, it's not mean, but anytime I would be like, hey, how are you? Or hey, good morning, because I try to say good morning to everyone. They're just kind of like, yeah, whatever. Uh-huh. Fine. And I'm like, okay, sounds good. So I was like, you, I'm sorry, but do you watch Rebels? You're like, yes, I watch Rebels. Do you watch Rebels? And I was like, yes.
I am Rebels.
Yeah. And I was like, I actually do Rebels and I have pictures. I showed it. They're like, that's cool. And then they like rambled about Chopper for a bit. I thought that was fun. And I was like, yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm, I agree. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, are you excited for the Ahsoka show? And I was like, yes. But also, I wish it was animated. But that's just my thing. But I'm sure it'll be good. I semi made a friend, and then that was the end of the conversation. And then Chef was like, "Hey, how many duck on order?" Blah blah blah. So I had to, ordering a duck. So yeah, that was kind of cool. I'm like, that's only twice here. I've no, maybe like three people I've met that like watched Rebels, like just randomly, like in the same class as me. The first one was kind of cool because she was actually like, "Wait, are you from the Rogue Rebels?" And I was like, "Ugh.
Oh my gosh, you're famous."
Yeah, I was like, that's me. That was in high school, but yeah. It's kind of cool, especially just talking Rebels. And like, Rebels is so good. Rebels is the show. It's beautiful. And I'm glad that Andor is just as good. And just it's so precious, so good. Yeah. That's my rant about Rebels. So it's no wonder older generations who didn't grow up with this weirdness are confused. So I think that is an episode and a podcast.
Yes. Certainly it. For Star Wars Geek Girl, you can follow Star Wars Geek Girl on Facebook. This is Star Wars Geek Girl Facebook page. Twitter, Instagram at SW Geek Girl. We'll see what happens to Twitter.
Why? What's happening on Twitter?
A lot.
I'll ask later.
Yeah, okay. A lot.
Okay.
If Twitter goes, we'll probably have to actually use Instagram.
That's fine.
I still don't have access to the account, but we'll figure it out. And there's the website, starwarsgeekgirl.com. There's a monthly poll. I do things sometimes. I haven't for the past 2 weeks. I'm not even busy. I'm just tired. Like all the time for no reason. I don't know why. It's really weird. And I'm a little busy.
Okay.
And I have also, it's hard to come up with ideas for things to write sometimes. And I don't always know what to say. I am currently reading Quest for the Hidden City.
Mm-hmm. Sounds cool.
Which will mean I'm caught up on all Star Wars books until Tuesday when Convergence comes out. So then I will have to read that as well. And then I'm caught up on all Star Wars books for maybe a couple of weeks. We'll see.
Nice.
We'll see.
For the Rogue Rebels, there's therogerebels.com. Instagram and TikTok at The Rogue Rebels, Twitch at Rogue Rebels, podcast wherever you're listening to Star Wars Geek Girl, Facebook page, The Rogue Rebels, and then Twitter, I guess, at Rogue Rebels Fam.
We'll see. I think some people are being a little over dramatic, but who knows, man. Crazy times.
I'm behind.
That's okay. That's okay. So thank you so much for listening to Star Wars Geek Girl. I was Zoe.
I was Lizzie.
May the Force be with you, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Star Wars Geek Girls. They're geek girls that like Star Wars. And sometimes cry.